Hey, beautiful. Janae Emily Utley here, holistic lifestyle maven and possibility trainer. Welcome to the podcast of possibilities. This is the space to be for creative, enterprising, and entrepreneurial women who want to obtain a fit mind, a fit body, and manifest God's best for their lives. Without further ado, let's dive in.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another video here to do a sit down chat with y'all. Chitty chat. We're talking about our get out of debt, debt freedom, financial independence journey today.
John and I got on the same page about money before we got married. Now, granted,
it took a breakup.
It took a whole breakup.
Yeah.
And like, we had such a short engagement period. We were only engaged for 7 days.
Five.
We were only engaged for 5 days. But
who's counting?
I feel like we get on the same page financially about our plan to get out of debt.
Before then?
Like, the day after we got engaged. Because we took that long trip from Memphis to Michigan, and we was listening to all of these Dave Ramsey podcasts, and it was like getting us in the mood. Because John had suggested it like months previous, but I just didn't feel like listening to it. But you know, but on the trip from me moving from Memphis to Michigan, we like listened to all of these Dave Ramsey podcasts because that's a 12-hour drive, and from then we were on the same page.
Yeah, it's definitely taking time. Like, it took time. It wasn't just like we listened to a couple of podcasts. We had a few difficult...
No. We were on the same page. Yeah. The process to get there,
right.
But we were on the same page.
Yeah.
And one way that I knew that John was for real serious about me is he always referred to it as our debt. Like, it never was like, this your debt, this my debt. It was always like, our debt. How are we going to get out of debt? Now, we didn't cross-contaminate money when we were dating. Like, we didn't share bills. Like, he would definitely send me money if I was, like, struggling. Because around that time, like, I had just started my business, too. So, like, he would send me, like, a couple hundred here. And, like, I remember a couple times he like, sent me $1,000 because he was, like, just... have this and have like a little extra. But going into our marriage, we were on the same page. So coming into our engagement marriage, I was bringing $20,000, maybe a little bit more from interest from student loans, about, we'll say around $7,000 from, you know, what was left on my car note. As far as consumer debt, like credit cards, I had probably total $7,000, $8,000, because I feel like I had like $5,000 on Discover, a little bit on Walmart, a little bit on Macy's. So walking into our marriage, I had probably close to $40,000 in debt.
Yeah, I think I was sitting in like, I was probably like 37, 38 or so with my student loans. And then I took out, like, for your ring, I put, like, half of it. I had, like, some of it left on a loan. And then I had, like, a credit card. So maybe, like, $3,000 or $4,000 between credit cards and the ring left. So it's probably about 40 for me.
Total?
40 total, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So roughly, like, roughly $80,000 together.
Yeah.
And, interest is real. So, between, like, us paying the minimum and, like, interest being a real thing, and then me, even though we were on the same page in our marriage, I incurred more debt from, like, business stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I incurred $20,000 of debt from, like, stuff that I was doing with my business, where there's, like, hiring coaches or whatever. So that put us over that $100,000 mark. And so to get us from that point to where we are now, we have done a couple things, several things.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of did the Dave Ramsey plan.
No, we definitely did the Dave Ramsey plan. We just modified it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We kind of did what he said, but we modified it. Like, the first thing we did was we saved up, like, $1,000 emergency fund. And then from there, we had a lot of high-interest credit card loans. So we went to a credit union and took out a personal loan at a lot lower rate. So, like, 15, 20%. Interest on credit cards, we took that down to like 6%, 7%.
So to make it make more sense for us, I had a few credit cards, he had a few credit cards, but not a whole lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we consolidated all of our credit debt by getting one loan from the bank that we were banking with, which happened to be a credit union. Yeah. So we took out a $14,000 loan to pay off all of our credit cards, because that significantly decreased our interest rate. Yeah. And the money that we were going to have to pay in excess to pay that down.
Right.
So we paid off those credit cards. We cut all of them up. But we didn't close all of them.
Right.
I closed a couple of them, but we didn't close all of them, because mm-hmm. when you close your credit cards, it decreases your credit score. And so we were trying to, like, that's where we kind of modified pieces of the Dave Ramsey plan to fit us. Because his thing is cash is king, and cash is king. But for us being newly married, we didn't have a mortgage, we were trying to build other things, it didn't make sense for us to, like, commit credit suicide just like that.
Right.
Because ultimately you want to get to a point where, like, I don't care what my credit score is, essentially, because I got a couple hundred thousand in the bank, whatever I need I can get. But if you're not to that point, you have to be smart about it. Like, right. Yes, a credit score is just a report card of how well you negotiate debt, so to speak. And if you ain't trying to be about that debt life, which we're not, like, we get why he says that. Mm-hmm. We understand why he says that, but we had to use our own wisdom in navigating his plan to make it make sense for us. So we...
Right, you're going to get a whole different mortgage loan rate if we decided to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a credit score of 600 versus mm-hmm. if you got a credit score of 800.
Right.
So obviously that makes more sense for us to... Yeah, if we have the willpower to not put anything on those credit cards account...
Mm-hmm.
credit card accounts, but still leave them open in order to lengthen our credit history and show we have a diverse mix of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
And so we did.
Yeah.
So we did the 1,000 emergency savings fund,
mm-hmm.
and then we consolidated all that consumer debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about it. We kind of yo-yoed back and forth with how we were going to tackle all of our debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dave Ramsey advocates for the snowball method,
mm-hmm.
which is you pay the smallest loan first, you pay minimum balances on everything except for the smallest loan or the smallest debt that you have, and you pay off that debt as quickly as possible. Put everything that you can towards that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that debt is paid off, you basically take what you were paying for that snowball, you make it a little bit bigger, and you put it towards the next smallest debt. And mm-hmm. the thing is like, over time it grows.
Right.
The avalanche method is you take your highest interest amount, basically, and you pay off that instead. So I had like one student loan that was $15,000 at 7%. Mm-hmm. So it would have made sense for us to knock that out, because that technically has the highest interest amount. But
it would have taken a long time. Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for the snowball method with gaining momentum and that
right.
personal satisfaction that you feel.
Emotional health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of seeing the number of debts that you have go down.
Yeah.
And feeling that accomplishment from paying one off.
Yeah.
So we kind of juggled a little bit.
Yeah, we went, like, some stuff we were avalanching, some stuff we were snowballing. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've done it to fit our lifestyle and our personality and what God wanted to do with us and how he wanted to do it.
Right. So yeah, we'd pay off some small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Get some momentum and then start throwing everything towards the bigger loans.
Yeah.
And then if it would take a while and we're like, we have another small one that we could knock out,
mm-hmm.
we would knock out that small one just to get some momentum. Like, we weren't trying to go 3 years without paying off a loan.
Yeah.
Which might have been what it would have taken.
Right. So, had we started out with it, you know, 15,000.
Right.
One off the top.
Right. So, yeah, we might have spent a little bit more in interest doing it with the snowball way or with our modified kind of juggling way.
But it's okay because it, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. It's just, it's what we needed to do. So,
And then one more thing that Dave Ramsey says. So, one thing that Dave Ramsey recommends to do that we didn't completely agree with is to not put anything into your retirement, even if your company matches your retirement contributions. So I think Janae said that we did that for a little while, maybe a month or two.
And then when we thought about it, we was just like, we ain't going to get this money back.
Right.
It's essentially free money.
Right. And our student loans, which were most of our accounts at that point in time, the interest rate was probably equal to a retirement account's interest rate. I don't know. So it was like the interest that we saved on paying extra towards the loans, we lost in potential interest gained on retirement. And so it wasn't really making sense. Plus, we were losing the money that my company matched. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I don't agree with. As long as you can, you know, make more than just your minimum payments, I think maybe that's the thing.
Well, and then another thing is like, how aggressive do you want to be? How are you, like, you know, for some people, they agree with it because it makes absolute sense for them to, like, go bare knuckles, bare bones, full 100, you know, 100 miles an hour to do what's necessary to get out of debt. Right. In that scenario, we would 100% agree with Dave Ramsey. Close the door, shut everything down, make sure all, every single dime that you give outside of your tithe goes toward your debt. For us, we just chose a little differently.
Right. And we really skimped. We lived rice and beans, beans and rice, for a while.
Yeah. So, like, we made, for us to kind of be able to have paid at this point, you know, $80,000 off in debt, it came with some sacrifice. And it came with us trying to, you know, figure out how to do this. Right. We lived bare bones. Like, when we got married, we didn't move into a house. We didn't, because it's a lot of couples that as soon as they get married, they look for a new house and they instantly get a mortgage.
Right.
We didn't do that.
Right.
We moved into a small apartment, and we're still in a small, like what I like to call a boutique apartment. It's what, 600 square feet?
Yeah.
Something like that. We are still driving the cars that we've had. I have a 2008. He has a 1997. So it's like and granted, during this whole process, we both kind of switched to this minimalistic lifestyle just to be kinder to the environment and just...
It's more peace of mind, too.
More peace of mind. So I wasn't buying a whole lot of clothes, and I was used to buy so much makeup. I don't buy that much makeup no more.
Because in college, it was all about that. Like, if I wanted to get you a gift, I could get you some makeup. It was set. I was like, cool.
Yeah, and I don't have to have a whole lot of clothes. I don't have to have a whole lot of shoes. I don't have to have a whole lot of purses. That used to be my thing. If you knew me in high school, like, I still love to, don't get me wrong now, your girls still like to look fine. I still like to dress, but where I am now is I know that I don't need that. And for the time being, I'm okay with, you know, getting by with the clothing that I do have and the clothing that I do buy. So,
yeah.
We definitely have made some sacrifices to get to this point. But like he said, we were like rice and beans, beans and rice, trim that food budget down. But we got to a point where...
We're like, look, we've made great progress, but let's enjoy some food. We love food way too much to just be so strict on food. Plus, we're not spending money on anything else. So... if that's our refuge, so to say.
Where we take it a little easy and we're not so aggressive about it.
If that's the way that we can spark a little romance in our lives and have some, you know, cheap date nights, we're going to do that. And so we chose to sacrifice maybe a month or two in our timeline for getting out of debt versus enjoying a little bit more food.
Yeah.
That was just more important to us. And that's what... that's what I think is the thing with any set of strict rules. Like, you have to make it work for you.
You got to find balance.
You can't completely lose yourself in the process.
Yeah. Because it got to a point, like, I was so miserable with our food budget. I was so miserable by the, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, for my sanity, we're going to have to get off this rice and beans.
Yeah.
I'm going to need more. And that's when we really started to implement more date nights.
Yeah. Because we were skimping.
Mm-hmm.
We were skimping hard.
Mm-hmm.
The first year or two, I feel like a marriage, people would be going out all the time. This honeymoon stage, so to say. Like, we still had our honeymoon stage, but it wasn't at the expense of a lot of dates.
Yeah.
So,
like, the combination of us getting on the same, like, brainwave with finances, us making sacrifices, us praying, and, like, because our first couple budget meetings were, like, rough. We used to
really
argue.
Really, just the first one was rough.
First two.
The second one was not that bad.
Yeah.
The first one was bad. It was hard.
Yeah. It was, yeah. So, we found a flow about talking about money. Like, okay, baby, we need to set this money aside for this, and we need to set this money aside. So, like, we eventually got into a flow and got into a rhythm. And then after we kind of got into a flow, it was kind of like smooth sailing. Like, if we needed to budget out for something, we'll budget it out. But we kept our expenses low. Like, I wasn't spending a whole lot of money. He wasn't spending a whole lot of money. And then he started to make more money.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, each year he would get a raise because he's such an amazing, amazing worker. He's smart and he's brilliant. So every year he would get a raise, and then he would get bonuses. And
I worked a lot of overtime.
He worked. Oh, yeah. That was another sacrifice that we had to make for our marriage. He worked a lot of overtime, which meant he wasn't home a lot. So he would come home pretty late, get home about 7:38, and then he would work on the weekends. And then we got to a point in that I was like,
We need to have some marriage.
Your butt at the house.
Can we get married again?
Can keep your butt at the house. No more overtime, because it was just like, when I would see him, I'd be at his neck.
Yeah.
I feel abandoned. So, like, we had to be like, okay, we gotta take it back on that overtime now.
And it was another thing, too, is because Janae has her own business. So she's working from wherever she works from, but typically isolated.
Yeah.
Unless there's an event, or unless she goes and hangs out and shoots videos with, you know, other businesswomen or something like that. Whereas I'm constantly working with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I would get home from work and I'm like, shut it down.
Yeah.
Like,
he
I'm
would get home
done.
And I'd be like, ooh, I'm gonna talk. Ooh, guess what happened? And he'd be like, and I'd be like, you don't want to listen to me? Mm-hmm. And so then it would be like, that was another sacrifice, like all that overtime. So,
yeah, so you got to find the right balance for, I mean, what works with your financial, and this is a holistic life. You know, you got to balance everything. You got to balance your financial health with your
mental health,
with your emotional health,
with
your
relational
health.
Come on, baby.
I was working a lot on Sundays, and so we weren't going to church. That wasn't available. So that, you know, that changed.
Yeah.
We had to reprioritize our marriage. We had to reprioritize our spiritual well-being.
Yeah.
Because
we wanted to enjoy the journey. Like, I feel like where we are now, even though I have my moments, because he started, you know, making more money and doing all these amazing things. And in my business, I was struggling for a really long time. And I told y'all, like, I added an additional $20,000 of debt to our marriage. Mm-hmm. So that played with me. Like, that played with my mind. That played with my emotions. That played with my capacity to feel like an adult, feel like a woman, feel like a wife who contributes to her marriage financially. Like, that played with me. So,
and that's another thing, too, is, like, I think as a husband who was bringing in more money at that point in time, it would have been easy for me to get resentful towards Janae about, you're getting us in more debt. But that's not the way I approached it.
Mm-hmm.
I was always happy to invest in her business because I thought it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I still do. I don't regret spending the money that we spent.
Mm-hmm.
Janae might say differently. Like, I wish I wouldn't have ever spent that money, but I don't regret that at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't regret investing in you. That's a worthwhile investment. This is the same thing as we're saying, that your interest for one category versus the other, why does it matter? Like, it's so much more interest and return for investing in you than for paying off debt. So, like, it would have been easy for me if I was only focusing on the finances to say, blah, 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 blah. you know, the old ball and chain dragging me down, spending money, getting some more debt. Like, I know there's plenty of people out there, wives and husbands, who would have done that. But that's not okay. Like, that's why it's important for marital health to be good. So, plus, like, you know, I gotta support my baby. Mm-hmm. Not financially, but emotionally.
I get emotional about this because for a really long time, I had a lot of shame attached to this. Mm-hmm. Like, and even some now that I'm working through. So not only did I add $20,000 of debt to our relationship, to our debt, I wasn't making the money that I wanted to make. And I talk about this, on my holistic lifestyle channel, how I would make money some months and some months I would make no money, but I still had expenses associated with running a digital business, marketing, advertising, stuff that I have to use to host my newsletter, my email, website costs. Like, I still had all these costs, and for a really long time, I felt like I was this like fraud because I'm a whole adult woman, and not only am I not making the money that I want to make, I feel like I am a burden to my husband. So, I count it all joy, because even in that, I see the man that I married. I see the man that is like, you know, I'll do it again. I see the man that didn't like bust me in the head about it. I see the man that we were still married and we were still happily married. We still, you know, we still are happily married, because, you know, they say that finances is like the number one thing that breaks up married. A union. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had to get to a point where I was just like, Janae, stop it. And that's how, like, a course that I created, The Accomplished Woman, that's how that course, the first lesson in that course, which talks about finances, that's how that even came about, because I started to learn how to navigate business decisions, how to figure out, okay, what actually needs to be bought and what actually can wait and what is God actually telling me to invest in. So now I'm in a point in my business, 2019, and this is the first year. I've been in business since 2013. This is the very first year where I have made money every single month. So I had to learn a couple of things. I had to learn that I had to sit down and stop buying stuff. I would like buy a $2,000 course here, and I would hire a $4,000, you know, dollar coach there, and a $5,000. I had to sit my butt down and realize, Janae.
And it wasn't always a huge purchase like that, though.
Most of the time it was, though. I had to learn patience, right? Because I was trying to get after this status when God really needed me to sit down and cultivate my relationship with him. Because when I for real started to dedicate my days to God and dedicate my business to God, and for real, I had to learn what making him the CEO of my business was, stuff started to change. Like, I started to get ideas and stuff started coming together, and I started to get new clients and new brand opportunities. My YouTube channel started growing. Like, these additional benefits that I didn't anticipate started to happen. So I needed to learn to sit down and to be patient and to trust God. Like, this $4,000 coach can't tell you something that's more important than God will tell you if you just sit down and be patient in his presence. So I was proud of myself that I got to a point where I did that. So if I wasn't contributing to our marriage the way that I wanted to financially, then at least I knew I wasn't putting us deeper into debt. So I would say that even in that, I feel like my husband is as financially successful as he is because I am his wife. I am his favor. I boost him. I encourage him. I let him know how smart he is, how brilliant he is. I'm behind his back like a lion when I'm trying to like charge him up and give him like that lion energy. Like, yeah. like, I am his hype man. And as his wife and his partner and his confidant and his favor, I feel like the reason he is able to do what he does financially is in part because of me. For sure. So,
I think that's such a critical part of a marriage, is having your spouse as, like, your greatest champion. Mm-hmm. And that's been huge for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
We said all that. I said all that to say that him earning more, making more, me earning more, making more, spending less, definitely making smarter business financial decisions has gotten us to the place where we have paid off really over $80,000 in debt in 4 years and some change. And we honestly did this whole little thing and we started documenting it in December because we wanted to be completely out of debt by the end of December, and it didn't work out that way. So now we're kind of like on this mad dash, like by November of this year, 100% out of debt, because at this point we have like $17,000 left. Mm-hmm. And we're really believing and praying in agreement with God's word that this last $17,000 is going to go away and it's going to be supernatural. Mm-hmm. Because we are God's children. We have tithes rights, and we're just in this new space that we're really trying to live these limitless, supernatural lives. And I just realized in the last couple of days that we have, like, not. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that God wants to do in our lives. And we're going to give glory back to him, no doubt, but we're just really leaning into this last $17,000, that this is going to be supernatural. And I don't mean supernatural in the way that, you know, a bag of money is going to fall out the sky, but, like, however it happens, it's going to happen in a way that it's not going to, yeah, however it happens, it's going to happen in a way that it's not going to cause us no extra turmoil, no toil. Right. It's going to be with joy. It ain't going to be by the sweat of our brow, because we are redeemed from that curse. We are redeemed from the curse of working hard. Like, I don't even claim that over our lives anymore. We don't work over in this household. We don't work hard, y'all. We work smart. We work under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. We ain't no hard workers. We smart workers. We are anointed workers over here. We don't do that. So, why? Because I'm on my Minister Janae rant. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
You're good. I mean, whether you're single or whether you're married, put God first.
Ooh, can I say something?
Yeah.
I get emotional about this because this is something I'm still working through. Understand that your journey is your journey. And however God comes through for you, he's going to come through for you. It was hard for a while for me to accept the gratitude and the graciousness and the help of my husband financially, because as a strong woman, that's a black woman, that's a very educated woman, I felt like I was not living up to my potential. And so I felt like I was doing myself a disservice. And so I felt like I was supposed to be this independent woman, not in the sense of like, you know, his money is his money and my money and my money is my money, but in a way where it's just like I just felt like I was contributing.
Right. Self-sufficient, basically.
Self-sufficient. I could add something. And I felt like because I wasn't, that said something about who I was. It made me feel, like I said earlier, like a fraud, like a flake. Like, what was the point of me going to school and getting these 2 degrees and graduating summa cum laude? Like, in undergrad, I graduated with like a 3.8. And then I went into grad school and I graduated with like a 3.7. Like, I was like, I'm that chick. I still am that chick. So it was just like I couldn't piece those identities together in my mind. And so it was causing this really big emotional divide. And it's something that I'm currently working through in therapy. But I really have had to accept the fact that my husband was my blessing. He was my partner. That I didn't have to be this quote-unquote financially independent woman before I married him. Like, he's a part of my package, and I can't try to separate the two. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of my story, and it's not a part of other women's story. I can remember going to an event, and this girl was boasting about the fact that she made all of this money, and she did all of this stuff on her own, not realizing that, in a sense, she was shaming me. Well, she wasn't shaming me. I was ashamed, and I took that on as my own. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I ain't had nothing to do with her. I'm actually proud of her. I'm proud of women who can do that. But it just wasn't my story. And I'm in this space where I'm walking it out, and I am accepting it, and I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to get on the same page. Get on the same page. Yep. I think it's important to do that immediately.
Yeah.
Be willing to humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to have the tough conversations. Be willing to admit fault, or to not condemn, or whatever it looks like.
Yeah, and be okay to, because I know with some people who are married, it gets a little spicy, because you have some people have spouses that might not be saved or might not be forthcoming. So they gamble all the money away, or that, you know what I'm saying? So in those situations, you for real got to keep God first, because he'll show you how to navigate that. But in relationships where it's open and y'all talking, mm-hmm. y'all forthcoming with each other, it's also important to tell y'all's like money stories.
Yeah, your money story is important, because that explains why you behave the way that you behave, or why you think the way that you think.
What you think about money, what you feel about money, the mm-hmm. triggers that you have around money, because that'll be able to help you in your, like, get out of debt budgeting journey.
Mm-hmm. Or even once you're out of debt, you know, how do you deal with the surplus, or how do you deal with, you know, how do you be a blessing to others
mm-hmm.
at that point?
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't be a blessing while you're in debt. You can.
Yeah, because we are. That, honestly, that has been something that has probably contributed to, like, some of the overflow that we do experience, because we are givers.
So, yeah, I think just communication is key. Making a budget is key. Sticking to it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. And giving yourself some flexibility and some grace.
Right.
So you won't beat yourself up over the head if it's not perfect.
Right. And money isn't everything, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool.
It's a tool.
It's a tool.
We started to have the hard, challenging, difficult conversations about money before we got engaged. And then once we got engaged on the car ride up here to Michigan, we kind of talked about the plan of how, like, mapping out the actual plan of how we were going to do that using, like, Dave Ramsey's method. So mm-hmm. We pretty much have been living lean for a really long time. Well, not a really long time, but since we've been married, because we got, like, the plan got established when we got engaged. So it's been about four and a half years with us being on the same page, figuring stuff out, failing at some stuff, succeeding at some stuff. With John, you know, making more money as each year went on, as me spending less money and then starting to make more money as time went on,
mm-hmm.
And then really leaning into God, praying, asking him for directions, being tithers, still giving offering. We still decided that we wanted to be givers, even though we were still in debt. So that's a big part of our debt-free, get-out-of-debt plan, mm-hmm. is to still tithe and still give offering and still give, be givers to other causes and other people. So
mm-hmm. I think another important thing is just, like, regularly celebrating the small things.
Oh, yeah. Like, because when we used to get out of debt, we used to, like, if we paid a student loan off or something off, we would go to, like, a dinner, and we would mm-hmm. do, like, these debt-free screens. I have a video. We have a video on our channel where we do, like, we're out of debt.
Yeah, so that's important.
Yeah.
So even if, like, our net worth crosses a certain threshold, I'm like, hey, baby, look what happened.
Yeah.
Like, we're past this point.
Yeah.
Or our loans are down to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's important. And I think just regularly, like, every paycheck or every time Janae has, you know, a big chunk of income with a mm-hmm. new program or something like that, we talk about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a regular focus for us.
But not obsessive.
Right.
So that's all we have for today's video. I know this was a bit of a long one, but we kind of mm-hmm. wanted to fill it out and get as much out as possible to kind of share with y'all our journey about how we did it. If you want us to do a follow-up video and ask specific questions that are, I guess, not too outlandish.
Yeah.
Like, if you like how much money you make a year, we're not telling you that. At least not right now. God might tell us otherwise. But if you want us to do a follow-up video to this video, I'm going to comment under this video. The comment that you see that's pinned will be my comment. If you want to us to do a second part to this video, like that comment in the comment section. And then if it's something specific that you want us to address under that same comment, attach a reply and ask your question there. Also, we didn't really hit on our, I mean, we hit on our debt-free journey, but we didn't hit on our financial independence journey. So we want to retire early. It's a whole thing about that, about our credit scores. I'm currently sitting over 800 on my credit score. So is he. So it's a whole nother side to just like getting out of debt, like building wealth and building a retirement plan. So if y'all want us to also talk about that in the part two of this journey, under my comment, go ahead, ask your questions specific to that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of your blessings, all of your generosity, all of the things that you tell us that we are, that we can have because we are yours, that we are your children, that we are born again. Father God, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, our known sins and unknown sins, creating us a clean heart and renew the right spirit. Father God, for everybody who's watching us, who's listening to us, who's on their own debt-free journey, financial independence journey, Father God, I just ask you that you equip them with wisdom, the wisdom to navigate this situation. Not necessarily money all the time, but the wisdom, because with wisdom comes resources, comes the utilization of skills, comes time management, comes emotion management, comes you know, inner healing that might need to happen as a result that will ultimately lead to like debt freedom and financial independence, Father God. So I just pray that you give them wisdom to navigate this season, that you will give them hope to know that it's possible, no matter if they are making $10,000 a year and if they are, you know, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in debt, Father God, give them hope to know that you have something better for them, that you can bless them and that you will bless them and that they can be and will be most blessed. So, Father God, I thank you for the wisdom. I thank you for the hope. I thank you for the just strength and the courage that you are placing inside of them and you are rooting inside of them right now. Father God, I thank you that you hear me and you hear our prayers. I pray this in your sweet son's Jesus name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. You got something you want to say?
No.
Okay.
You good.
All right. Until next time. Bye.
Be blessed.
Thank you so much for rocking out with your girl. You make this podcast possible with your continued support. Want to get back? Awesome. There is a link available in the show notes that allows you to sow a seed into this podcast. Also, while you're there looking around in the show notes, you will find direct links to my website, all of my other social media accounts, and my newsletter where I send out real, raw, and transparent emails every Friday.
Every Friday.
If you haven't already, I would love, love, love for you to leave me a 5-star rating and a review, as that is truly the best way to help other women find this show. Until next time, bye. Be blessed.
Be blessed.